The Supreme Personality of God had said. Not. Ekantanaha. Unalloyed. Without desires except for one desire. For devotional service. May. For me. Mahi. Unto me. Jatu. Anytime. Iha. Within this material world. Ashishaha. Benedictions. Ashasate. Intent desire. I mean very, very intense desire. And Amutra. In the next life. Cha. And. Yay. All such devotees who. Bhavat vidaha. Like you. Tatapi. Still. Manvanturam. The duration of time until the end of life. Of one manu. Etat. This. Atra. Within this material world. Daicha Ishvaranam. Of the opulences of materialistic persons. Anubungshva. You can enjoy. Mogan. All material opulences. So translation. The Supreme Personality of God had said, my dear Balad, a devotee like you never desires any kind of material opulences, either in this life or in the next. Nonetheless, I order you to enjoy the opulences of the demons in this material world, acting as their king until the end of the duration of time occupied by Manu. So purport by the divine grace, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. One Manu lives for a duration of time calculated to be an aggregate, that means all together, of 71 yuga cycles, each of which equals 4,300,000 years. Although atheistic men like to enjoy material opulences and they endeavor with great energy to build big residences, roads, cities, factories, unfortunately, they cannot live more than 80, 90, or at the utmost, 100 years. Although the materialist exerts so much energy to create a kingdom of hallucinations. What's hallucinations, do you know? Hallucinations means like something that's not real. Something that you just invent or you dream at night. And it's hallucinating. Like the people see things that aren't real. You see, they see people who aren't real, like crazy people. He is unable to enjoy it for more than a few years. However, because Prahlad Maharaj was a devotee, the Lord allowed him to enjoy material opulence as the king of the materialists. Prahlad Maharaj had taken birth in the family of Aranyakashipu, who was the topmost materialist. And since Prahlad was their bona fide heir of his father, in other words, he was the son of the father, the Supreme Lord allowed him to enjoy the kingdom created by his father for many years that no materialist could calculate them. A devotee does not have to desire material opulence, but if he is a pure devotee, there is ample opportunity for him to enjoy material happiness also without personal endeavor. Therefore, everyone is advised to take the devotional service under all circumstances. If one desires material opulence, he can also become a pure devotee and his desires will be fulfilled. As stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam, the second canto, third chapter, text 10, Akama sarva kamo va moksha kama udara dahi tivrena bhakti yogena yajeta purusham puram. Whether one desires everything or nothing, or whether he desires to merge into the existence of the Lord, he's intelligent only if he worships Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, by rendering transcendental loving service. Okay, so Shri Bhagavan Vacha, Naikantano me mayatiha ja. Asasyate mutra chaye bhavad vidha tatapi manvantarame tadatra tai jeshuranam anubhungshva bhogan. Om Ganash Kamadam Dasha Gananjana Shilakaya Chakshur and Meditam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Maha. So what is material opulence? Do you know what material opulence is? That means opulence means things like a lot of money, big cars, big house, a lot of clothes. There was one wife of a prime minister once that had thousands of pairs of shoes. You should might have heard of it. She was the wife of the prime minister of Philippines, Imelda Marcos. You heard about that many years ago. Thousands. She needed a house this big to hold all of her shoes. Can you imagine? Probably the shoes smelled bad too. But anyway, so she had so much opulence like that. But didn't make her happy. Because what are you going to do with all those shoes? Right? And then you have all these clothes and shoes and boats and cars. Just like before I joined the movement, I didn't have that many shoes, of course. But I was born in a family that was very opulent. We had our own airplane. Do you have your own airplane? No. See, you're very unfortunate. Very expensive. It was an airplane. We used to take the airplane and fly to different islands in the place called Bahamas. Bahamas are islands around South America. North America and South America. You know where North America and South America is. And we'd land on the roads. And then we had a private estate in the on one of the islands there. Big estate, many acres with a private beach. With pink sands. It was very beautiful. Yeah, from coral. Sometimes sand is coming from rocks. Sometimes it's coming from volcanoes. And sometimes it's coming from coral. So it was very beautiful, fine, fine sand. So we had so much opulence. And then I went to a big university. Had everything I wanted. As soon as I got my driver's license, my father bought me a sports car. You know what a sports car is? It's a real fast car. Yeah, with a convertible and everything like that. That's opulence. So I had all those things, but guess what?
Didn't make
me
happy.
I joined the Hare Krishna movement, and then I started sleeping on the floor. Before I had nice bed, soft mattress, like Hiranyakashipu. I was like a little Hiranyakashipu when I was young. But I gave it all up to serve Krishna, because those things didn't make me happy. So that's what opulence is. All those things. And usually when one has a lot of these opulences, guess what? They become very proud. Like Queen Kunti describes some of the opulence materialists have. She says, Janmaishvarya Shutasha Shibir. The material opulences are different categories. Sometimes one is born in a very, let's say, high-class family. Like sometimes in the Indian culture, if one's born, let's say, in a Brahmin family, that's considered an opulent thing, like Sharma, Trivedi. You've heard those names before? No. Anyway, so it means that one's very proud. Or Aishvarya, money, and boats and cars and everything. We even had our own boat. This big boat. We used to go in the ocean and sail a boat. Pretty good, isn't it? You don't have your own boat, do you? No. Anyway, we just got seasick on the boat. People think you get a boat and it makes you happy, you know, a big boat. But actually, it was so much work. You go out, you get sick, the boat is going from side to side, and you're vomiting off the side of the boat. And so much money was spent on the boat, and it just didn't bring us happy. And then every time you bring the boat back, you have to clean the boat. You know, it was a sailboat, a big sailboat. And so much work, and I couldn't stand it. So, anyway, so Janmaishvarya, and then Shrutasya. Sometimes if someone is very learned, that's a type of opulence. You know, very intelligent, they become very proud. Or Shibir, if someone is very beautiful, then just like I was in India many times, and we meet with Bollywood stars. You know what a Bollywood star is? Actress. And guess what? They're surrounded by these people called paparazzis. Everyone knows about, we know what a paparazzi is? Paparazzi means the, all the people with cameras. And they had thousands of people there with cameras. Smile for me. I was with one person, Vivek Oberoi. And he had a mustache. And he was twirling his mustache in front of all the cameras, and all the girls would come up and he'd go like that. So that's it was really funny. And one time we went to one program, there was a big, big Bollywood star there, and the whole Indian army was there with all their guns and everything like that to protect the Bollywood star. People were on top of the buildings with binoculars just to see her. All over the city they were there. It was Rani Mukherjee. And she's not even one of the very big ones. And they were just like, wow. Okay, go back to Maya. All right, so it's embarrassing when your own phone goes off when you're giving class. It's bad enough when someone else's phone goes off, but it's worse when your own phone goes off. So anyway, these are so they were looking at her from the buildings and going, "Wow, look at her, wow," and it. So these are things that make one proud. What happens when you get proud? You think that you're so important, right?
And when someone else is higher than you, you're envious of them.
Yeah, you're envious of them. You're just very proud. And then God, you know, who's he? I'm God. Like Hiranyakashipu, he had material opulence, right? He was so powerful that even Indra was offering his dandavats to him. And even Narada Muni would offer prayers. This is a pastime, but he's offering prayers. And so, therefore, make sure this one has not gone off. Yeah, this one's still on. So therefore, it just makes one proud, it makes one envious even of God. So material opulence is pretty bad, isn't it, most of the time? So why is Lord Nrisimhadev saying to Prahlad, you're going to enjoy material opulence? You have any ideas? If it's bad, I mean, a great spot. Because, I'll explain why. Because Prahlad Maharaj understood who the material opulence belonged to. Who does it belong to?
Krishna.
You know that verse? Ishavasham idam sarvam. Yatkancha jagajam jagat. Tena chiktena punjada magridha kashyas vidyanam. It means everything is owned and controlled by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Krishna is giving you, he's lending you things. Just like if someone lends you a very big car to drive around in, do you become proud of it? No, because it's his car. Right? It's not your car. So someone just lends you something, or someone lends you a diamond ring.
So you don't like a hunter, Bishop Prabhupada, everything is meant for me and Krishna.
Yeah. Everything belongs to Krishna. So what has Krishna given you? Krishna's given us this body. These clothes, everything is coming from Krishna. Of course, indirectly, it's from your parents. But, directly it's from your parents, but indirectly, I mean, in essence, it's from Krishna. Your intelligence, Krishna says in the Gita, I'm the intelligence of the intelligent, the strength of the strong. And these things are sometimes taken away. Right? Someone gets sick, sometimes they lose their strength, someone has a stroke, they lose their ability to control their body. So we have to understand Krishna has given us all these things. So Prahlad Maharaj understands that. And not only does he understand that, but he understands that everything he gets is meant to be used for what purpose? Krishna's service. Wow. So let's say someone gets a lot of money. What do they do with the money if they're a devotee?
Oh, should I give it to Krishna?
Give it to Krishna, but what do they do?
They should spend
it. They print books and distribute books. They make temples for Krishna. They help
food.
The devotees.
They don't have food, they give money.
Yeah, they give prasadam to everybody. So they use it in Krishna's service. But if a materialist gets a lot of money, what does he do? Buy a lot of shoes, right?
Clothes,
and just spends it on himself. So a devotee can have a lot of money, that's no problem, but he just uses it in Krishna's service. Just like there's many devotees who are very rich, not only Prahlad Maharaj, but Maharaj Ambarish, and of course the king of Orissa. There's so many devotees. Like Prabhupada became very wealthy, right? Before he took sannyas, he had nothing. It's an interesting story. Because before Prabhupada took sannyas, he lost everything. Everything was taken away. Did you know that Prabhupada's business went bad? Prabhupada's wife sold his Bhagavatams for tea biscuits. You know about that, right? Prabhupada, one day he went home and he said, "Where are my Bhagavatams?" And his wife said, "Well, I sold them in the market for tea biscuits." And Prabhupada's wife, like when Prabhupada said to her, What is more important for you, me or tea?" And she said, "Tea is more important than you." So his wife became completely against his Krishna consciousness. And then his business went bankrupt. You know what bankrupt is? Bankrupt means he lost all of his money in his business. So he had nothing, basically, material. He just had his Krishna consciousness. So then Krishna took everything away, and then what did Prabhupada took? Do he took sannyas, right? And then when he took sannyas, even Prabhupada's own children turned against him. They didn't listen to him. That's very bad, because children should always listen to the parents, right? 100% of the time, right? Good, they agree. So Prabhupada's own... you got to get that in writing from them, a signed statement. So Prabhupada's own children turned against him. Then he came to America with nothing. And guess what? And how many children did Prabhupada have in America? Spiritual children. Thousands. And they all listened to him. So Prabhupada got so much material opulence because he surrendered to Krishna. And all of his disciples, at least most of them, they listened to him. Whatever Prabhupada said. If Prabhupada said, "You go to China," they went to China. If Prabhupada said, "You even go to Pakistan, where it was so dangerous," the devotees went to Pakistan.
Why is it so dangerous?
Because there's Muslims. And they would kill people, kill Hindus, actually. Now it's even more dangerous. Now it's even more dangerous. Like if they see someone who's not a Muslim, then they sometimes they kill them. They burn churches and things like that. So people were ready to do anything. Then Prabhupada had 108 temples. I mean, so many big temples. And Prabhupada was publishing so many books, millions of dollars practically every month was coming in to Prabhupada's book fund. So that Prabhupada got so much opulence and he used it all for Krishna. So Prabhupada said that, he said, "I've given up, you know, whatever I had in India, and then Krishna's provided me with so many children, so much money, but he's using it for Krishna." So that's the whole point with Prahlad Maharaj. That Prahlad Maharaj would not become deviated. In other words, he would not lose his Krishna consciousness by material opulence because he loved Krishna. Just like if someone loves someone, then the opulence doesn't matter. You use the opulence for the person. Just like if a man loves a woman and he gets opulence, then he will actually give everything to her, right? He'll give diamonds. And some diamonds are worth millions and millions of dollars. Can you imagine loving someone so much you give them a diamond? But people do that. So with love, then no matter what one gets, the love becomes more important. And one dedicates whatever one gets. Manasa deha geha yokishimur arvilam tuya pari nandakishor. As Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, that's a devotee's consciousness. My mind, my body, my home, everything belongs to you, Nanda Kishore. Who's Nanda Kishore?
Krishna.
That's Krishna. He's the son of Nanda, right? Nanda Kishore, dearmost of Nanda Maharaj. So this is actually a devotee's position. So if one is actually pure, then Krishna gives so much opulence. And if one is not pure, guess what Krishna does? Can you guess? He takes opulence away. He says, for those who are not completely pure, I take away things from them. And so then all they're left with is what? The chanting of Hare Krishna. But also, if we have some material desire, you can pray to Krishna for it. Like Dhruva Maharaj, right? He had a desire greater than that, to have a kingdom greater than that of Lord Brahma. And he prayed for it, and then he became a pure devotee. So whatever desire you have, pray for it. But the best thing, of course, is spiritual desire. And Krishna will only give you those things that can help you in your spiritual advancement. Okay? So any questions or comments? We'll keep it short, because people have to go to work. Questions and school. Questions, comments, arguments, problems? No? No questions? All right. So I guess we can end. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.